Why that song at this time of year? Well, you'll see. And here is a prayer shawl. See this? Isn't this beautiful? This is a Jewish prayer shawl. Sounds like parasol. And so I'm going to put this on. I have no idea. Does it look right? Yeah. There we go. And here is the second Maccabees reading. This is from the Good News translation, and it's about the rededication of the temple. Got to be careful, otherwise I'm going to eat this. There we go. Judas Maccabeus and his followers, under the leadership of the Lord, recaptured the temple and the city of Jerusalem. They tore down the altars which foreigners had set up in the marketplace. They destroyed the other places of worship that had been built. They purified the temple and they built a new altar. And then with new fire started by striking flint, they offered sacrifice for the first time in 2 years. They burned incense, lighted the lamps, and set out the sacred loaves. After they had done all of this, they lay face down on the ground and prayed that the Lord would never again let such disaster strike them. They begged him to be merciful when he punished them for future sins and not hand them over anymore to barbaric pagan Gentiles. They rededicated the temple on the 25th day of the month of Kislev, the same day of the month on which the temple had been desecrated by the Gentiles. The happy celebration lasted 8 days, like the festival of shelters, and the people remembered how only a short time before they had spent the festival of shelters wandering like wild animals in the mountains, living in the caves. But now, carrying green palm branches and sticks decorated with ivy, they paraded around, singing grateful praises to him who had brought about the purification of his own temple. Everyone agreed that the entire Jewish nation should celebrate this festival every year. I bet you can't find that one in your Bible. It's in the Apocrypha, incidentally. That's why. So if you move into the St. Anne's Catholic community, how about at the Episcopal Church? Okay, it's intertestamental. It's between the Hebrew Bible and the Christian Bible. It's right there. And you will find this in the New English Bible. They will have the Apocrypha. We actually did study this in the Divinity School. There's even a book called Ecclesiasticus, just adding a little extra thing in there. But talks about this particular period in between, and much of this work was written in Greek. And, of course, who had conquered the world? Well, it was Alexander, right? So that's where we have to place ourselves. And my former church in Jackson, every year in the spring, we celebrated a pulpit exchange with Temple Beth Israel, our Jewish friends there. The friendship had started in the 1960s when the local temple burned to the ground and the Arbor Grove congregation offered its worship center for Shabbat services every Friday and Saturday until the new temple was erected. As a result, the two religious communities became very close, so much so that our two children's best friends, Lauren and Aaron Hallman, were members of Temple Beth Israel. This also means that our children attended Shabbat services on a regular basis. They studied in the Jewish Sunday school, and they participated actively in the various Jewish rites of passage, including a bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah, and Passover during the Lent and the Easter season, and Hanukkah during the Advent and Christmas season. For our family, this was a first-hand experience, a fantastic experience. In fact, I would suggest that all Christian ministers attend a rabbinical school for at least a year or have a rabbi teaching courses at Christian divinity schools. How much would that help? Often we in the Christian community are so narrowly focused, and the materials from the majority of the Bible in the First Testament, the Hebrew Bible, are read only as they relate to Christianity, rather than seeing Christianity as a reformed movement of Judaism, much like the Lutheran Church is a reformed movement of the Roman Catholic Church. Martin Luther never left Catholicism. He was a reformer of his own faith and believed that the Pope and his henchmen had polluted the ancient faith, leaving it sterile and distant from the common folk. Likewise, Jesus never left Judaism, but considered himself a reformer of a faith he loved dearly. We do ourselves a great injustice if we do not comprehend this very significant difference. Are we worshiping Christ or following Jesus? Are we focusing on the religion about Jesus or on the religion of Jesus? Christianity, Islam, and Judaism are linked as the great Abrahamic religions. And just as Buddhism and Confucianism are reformed movements of Hinduism, so it is with us in Christianity. Our roots are Jewish. Therefore, what is true about our religion finds its truth in other religions. A study from the inside out, where basically all rivers come from the same body of water. Consider the Golden Rule ethical mandate. For example, Christianity's, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Then there's Judaism's, what the Lord doth require thee, what is it? Only to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with thy God. Islam's, man who gives his substance to kinsmen, orphans, the needy, the traveler, beggars. Buddhism's, boundless heart towards all beings. Hinduism's, highest yogi who judges pleasure or pain everywhere by looking on his neighbor as himself. Confucianism's, do not do to others what you would not want others to do to you. As the religious historian Houston Smith said, all of these various traditions grew up with common features: sacred scriptures, a defined theological system, a priesthood, rituals and prayer techniques, symbols, pilgrimages. While remaining true to our own faith, we should listen to these other voices, for by listening we may come to understand relationships with each other, an understanding that will lead to love, a concept hallowed by every faith. In seeking to understand other religious faiths, we explore not only our world, but also our deeper selves. So with this as a basic introduction, let's take a short time to understand the traditional holiday called Hanukkah and explain its roots. Now I see standing back there, we have Lucy and Cassidy. So do you want to come up now? Because it's going to come in a little while, but that way you don't... Do you want to stand up here? Why don't you come up here and just sit here? You'll feel like royalty, believe me. Laura was there. Who wants Laura's seat? Okay, you know, Lucy. That's it. So there you go. Okay. Because they are going to be helping me this morning. Here's a menorah, by the way. And this is provided... Oh, thank you, Margie. This is your menorah, isn't it? From Fiddler on the Roof? Is that right? Isn't that beautiful? And it has a star of David. And I think Jerusalem is here. And the menorah down there, incidentally, that's a nature menorah. That's the tree of life. Even though it looks like an octopus down there, that's not an octopus. That would be James Bond. No, none of that. That is definitely a menorah. So, let's look at the roots. Hanukkah. And it's spelled so many different ways, you're never sure if you're even saying it right. Hanukkah or Hanukkah. Right? Hanukkah is a, you have to be careful with that when you're in company. Hanukkah is a, don't sit in the front pew, you'll be in trouble, is a festival of nature. And there you see the tree. It's a tree of life. It's a reminder of our shared history. And most of all, it is an affirmation of universal human values. As the scripture reading from the Second Maccabees explains it, Mathathias the Hasmonean saw a great threat in the Greek world. It was established, of course, by Alexander, and he initiated a rebellion in 168 BCE, before the Common Era. Under the leadership of his three sons, the revolt continued. And in December of 165, Judah Maccabee, one of the sons, captured Jerusalem from the Greeks and rededicated the temple. And he rededicated it, of course, to Yahweh, restoring the Jewish religion. The 8 days following, these were ones of celebration. A year later, Judah was driven from Jerusalem by the Greeks and their leader Antiochus, but the bloodshed continued. After Judah was killed in battle, another brother, Jonathan Maccabee, established a diplomatic government with the Greeks, keeping Jerusalem Jewish, but sending in annual tributes to Antiochus. He was a mediator, you see. But after Jonathan died in 141, Simon, the third brother, took over the throne and demanded Jewish independence, refusing to pay that tribute. About 100 years before Jesus was born, John Hyrcanus Maccabee, successor to Simon, took over and immediately declared himself the king of Israel. And the revolt died when Roman legions took over Israel and they renamed the country Palestine. The significance of these events, they lasted about 70 years in between the Greek and the Roman worlds, nurtured hope for the Jews that eventually they would have their own Jewish state. And that is why the holiday of Hanukkah has become recognized in Judaism since the establishment of the Jewish state in the late 1940s, though it has gathered great popularity since the 1970s. Previously, it was a minor holy day for the Jews as compared to major holy days like Passover and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Today, as Christians gather to celebrate Christmas, the Jewish community gathers to celebrate Hanukkah, but not necessarily at the same time. While Hanukkah, like Christmas, is a feast of lights, this year Hanukkah begins with sundown this evening, December 6th, tonight. And next year, Hanukkah begins December 24th. You see how it varies. It's interesting. And why the big difference in dates? It's based on the Jewish calendar beginning on the 25th day of Kislev. And it can occur any time from late November to late December, according to our Gregorian calendar. We can walk into a Jewish bookstore, and if you want to find one, it'll be difficult here in Cadillac, but as Margie and Ralph and John and Catherine, as we know, there's a wonderful museum up in Traverse City, Dennis Museum, and you can find many things right up there as well. Do you know of any in Cadillac? Any places? Maybe we'll have to open one. Thank you. Really? I went all the way to Traverse City, Karen. Thank you. There's a little advertisement going on here. Well, you can find, there's Hanukkah tinsel, dreidels, jelly donuts, or you can get donuts anywhere, I suppose, potato latkes, nine-branched menorahs. Why nine branches? The middle, this is for you, the middle one is lit first, and that's to light the other eight, you see. Okay, so we're going to have that middle one lit for you. But I don't want to light it yet because these candles will burn quickly. By the way, they can be different colors. Those are blue there, but as Margie has here, that these are different colors, which is just great as well. And notice our blue pyramids. See? So we already have right here a link between Christianity and Judaism. It's right here. So anybody wearing blue today, yep, there you go. Nothing here. But we can walk into any Jewish home and discover in one corner a Christmas tree and in the other a Hanukkah menorah with eight candles symbolizing the eight days of joyful celebration following that dedication of the temple. And by the way, the word Hanukkah means dedication. It's become a time of joy, though, when the Jewish people celebrate with great extravagance. They open presents over eight nights. Not just one night or one morning. Eight nights of presents and eating and drinking and dedicating a tree. And the tree is, for Jews, more of a symbol of nature and God's creation. And that's why we have a Hanukkah tree there. Hanukkah is a holy day that has become significant for Jews only in recent history, though, because it is generally an American Jewish experience. The same could be said of Christmas for American Christians. Traditionally, Easter is the most significant Christian holy day, and of course that is true for Jews with Passover. Easter celebrates for us the central theological event in Orthodox Christianity, which is the resurrection. Christmas for Christians historically was a minor holy day until it became more popular with Saint Nick and Santa Claus coming along in Europe. But if you look at our early forefathers and foremothers, the Pilgrims, and in the early New England, no, you do not celebrate Christmas. No. Right? Did you know that? Yeah, kind of interesting. I love Christmas, though, excuse me. But that's the way I am, and not the way I was raised. But with American commercial ingenuity, Bing Crosby, Irving Berlin, Christmas has become the American holiday. We can remove the specific religious Christological elements of the Christmas festival, and the holiday is still so attractive with some of those Christmas carols, the tree with the ornaments, the gifts and Santa Claus, as well as goodwill and family warmth. These are not necessarily religious, but what would we do without Scrooge? As Christian, we have found that everything does somehow go along with the religious part. These are also things that have drawn the Jews into the celebration of Hanukkah. They can trim the tree and sing the carols without being Christian. Though Adeste Fidelis and Away in the Manger, Joy to the World, these are songs that would probably not be a part of their tradition. While our Jewish friends celebrate Hanukkah over an eight-day period beginning tonight, and it begins tonight, days always begin with the evening and not with the morning, because that is how we know it from Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night, and there was evening and there was morning one day. So you have to have the light coming out of the darkness, you see. And that's something that was explained to me by Susan, who is the vice president of the temple, Beth Israel, up in Traverse City. I just discovered this yesterday. Thank you, Susan. Susan Curtis. Today at First Congregational Church of Cadillac, we will celebrate this all at once. And next week, I have another little ceremony that we can do within our service of music called dreidels. You'll see that, so that I hope you can come for that too. But this is a Hanukkah service, Cassidy and Lucy will be helping me with the service by lighting the candles. And why don't you go on down right now? Lucy, this is Lucy. This is Cassidy. And this is Daniel Friedman's service. It's for the home, but this is our church home. And I believe that in our community we will find nothing whatsoever objectionable, especially here in this radical, radical congregation. Oh, it's so radical. So come on around. Now, you see that middle candle there? One of you, in fact, here, I was going to say use that, but take the middle candle. Lucy, do you want to take the middle candle? That's the one. And then light that. Just use it. You go ahead and light it. There you go. And put it. Okay, and put it back. Let's see. Those are really fresh candles. Now, I'm going to save this one for next week. We can use this next week for the dreidel service. Okay, so Cassidy, why don't you lead the way? Just take that middle candle and light one of the other candles in no particular order. Okay, there you go. We dedicate this first candle to life. Its light will shed its beauty upon all the other lights, just as life makes possible all other values. The earth may exist without life, but existence will have no meaning. Life is the wellspring of value. Life is the foundation of light. Okay, Lucy, take that middle candle and light the second candle in the menorah. That's, guess which one that is? That is the candle of reason. This second candle reminds us of the bright light of reason, our unique glory. It is our power to think that sets us apart from other creatures. When we choose to think, we become masters of all we survey. We build tall structures of steel and glass. We send our voices and images across the wide spaces. We transform ugliness into beauty, and we erase the pain of disease. May reason be the guiding light in the lives of all people. Okay, Cassidy? We dedicate this third candle to truth, the splendid reward of reason. Truth makes us free, and freedom nourishes happiness. Without truth, we stumble about as if blind. Truth opens our eyes to the beauty of life and shows us the way to fulfillment. Okay. The universe, earth, and humanity overflow with beauty. The silent stretches of stars and planets, the lush abundance of field and wood, the birth of new life, all are beautiful. Yet the beauty that we see is not so thrilling as the beauty that fires the mind and inspires the heart. When the vast universe beckons to us to seek its truth, when we plant and harvest and build from the resources of the land, when we search out the secrets of life, we discover a beauty which surpasses even the most brilliant sunset. May the glow of that fourth candle inspire in us the spark of imagination that we may find new beauty in life and in the world. All right. Fifth candle. How did we do that? Okay. I skipped one. Yeah, I went to that. Okay. Anyway, we're going to skip one and move to the warmest light is that of love. We love people. We love ideals. We love the principles that make life and beauty possible. Love is the feeling that we hold toward all that we value, and it is the warmth we receive from those who value us. To earn another's love is to know the richest reward of life, and to bestow love is the highest tribute we can pay to those dear to us. May this fifth light of love burn brightly in our lives. Look, now we're on to the sixth one. Justice, justice shall you pursue. These ancient words have carried their challenge to every age. The just society is the ideal society. A person can seek truth, an individual can discover beauty, someone can feel love. But only when all people act with honesty and courage is there justice among them. This sixth candle represents justice, as we must know justice is truth in action. Okay, now we're on track. See, that's why I need help. Thank you, Lucy. On these three things the world rests, justice and truth and peace. A peaceful world is not our primary goal. It is the reward for achieving our goals. It is the consequence when we live together in truth and justice. There is a Chinese proverb that advises, if there is righteousness in the heart, there will be beauty in the character. If there is beauty in the character, there will be harmony in the home. If there is harmony in the home, there will be order in the nation. If there is order in the nation, there will be peace in the world. Okay. This final eighth candle we dedicate to our future with all of its priceless possibilities. The flames of the menorah will soon flicker and die, but the heroism of the Maccabees, the truth which they defended, and the freedom for which they fought, these are the lights of our future, which cannot be extinguished so long as we hold them dear. We have rededicated ourselves to life, to reason, to truth, to beauty, to love, justice, and peace. And may their precious unifying light guide our way in all the days to come. Amen. Thank you, Lucy. Thank you, Cassidy. I have an offering meditation by Theodore Gaster. Hanukkah, like Christmas, is regarded as the commemoration of a miracle. But despite the ancient idiom which also portrays it, the miracle is not an act of supernatural grace. Rather, it is the working within of a passion which transcends the momentary and spurns the opportune. Its symbol is appropriately the light which illumines, and the real miracle is that the light, our light, is never extinguished. Amen.